Hey everyone, this is Adam Mellenboss from Nightlight Astrology. Happy Friday, everybody. Today we are going to preview the upcoming solar eclipse that's happening in the sign of Aries. It is happening on April 8th, so it'll be happening early next week, but we're going to preview it today and then we'll spend more time with it on Monday as it actually comes through. Of course, if you want horoscopes on the solar eclipse, then I recommend going back to April's horoscopes, which happened at the very beginning of the week. And listening to what Alex and I had to say about all 12 whole sign house horoscopes for the solar eclipse in Aries, which you can get in that episode. On Monday, I'll be doing a little bit of a refresher on the eclipse and checking in again and just refreshing on the whole sign house topics. But the extended horoscopes, you want to listen to April's horoscopes that I did with Alex at the beginning of the week. But the point of today's episode is to unpack some of the dignities and the broader context in which the eclipse is happening in the sky so that we can deepen our understanding of its meaning and significance. So that's what we're going to do today. I hope that this will add to our prep over the weekend as we feel the eclipse coming through. Anyway, before we get into it, don't forget to like and subscribe. It really helps the channel to grow. Share your comments and reflections on this eclipse. Love to hear from you guys as always. And you can find transcripts of any of my daily talks on the website, which is nightlightastrology.com. Right now, our promotion for the day is to point you over to nightlightastrology.com for a couple of things that are coming up. One is on the events page, the live talks. Uranus in Love, April 18th, is coming up right before the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction. We are going to do a talk on Uranus and the significations of Uranus in love, sex, and relationships. If you missed Neptune in Love or Pluto in Love, the last two monthly webinars I did, you can pick up the recording of those in the shop under the shop page. Register for the Uranus in Love event. Happens 7 to 9 p.m. April 18th. If you can't make it live, we send you the recording afterward. So either way, hope that will be a useful and interesting talk for everybody. The other thing going on is registration is now open for Ancient Astrology for the Modern Mystic. My first year course in Ancient Hellenistic Astrology starts June 16th. We'll be launching into fuller promotion mode for that coming up. But you can see at the bottom that there are payment options and need-based tuition is now open as well. So if you want to register to get a little bit of financial support to make the course possible, please do take advantage of that. We try to make sure nobody is priced out of any of our programs. Second thing I want to turn you on to is Ashley's upcoming herbal apprenticeship program. If you're into herbs and want to study plant spirit medicine, go to skyhouseherbs.com, click on the courses tab. You can learn more about the Herbal Foundations apprenticeship. That course starts April 24th. It's coming up. It is all remote, so all of the programming is recorded in advance, and then there are study sessions that are held live where you can discuss the program and ask questions and things like that. So that one's kind of recorded, and you go at your own pace, which is nice. Anyway, if you stick around after my content today, there's an interview that I've been tagging on to the end of these programs with Ashley, where I interview her and talk about that course that's coming up if you want to learn more about it. So, and if, by the way, if you want to learn more about her work in general, YouTube, it's Skyhouse Herbs. Instagram, it's Skyhouse Herbs. And I think you guys really like her work. She has a spiritual, energetic approach to herbalism that's really, really unique. So, yeah. All right. Well, on that note, let's take a look at this solar eclipse. And we're going to look today at five features of this eclipse that are really important to consider so that we understand the eclipse as something more than just a solar eclipse in Aries, which is sometimes as simple as, we can just be overly simple in the way that we think about eclipses. There's a ton of information to be gleaned just from the fact that it's a solar eclipse in Aries. But when you start piecing together a lot of the other evidence surrounding the eclipse through the dignities, that's when you get a very specific picture. And not only the dignities, but the other planetary aspects happening in and around the time of the eclipse. So here we have the solar eclipse in Aries, April 8th. This is in the afternoon, Monday, April 8th. So it's next week. We'll be looking at this again on Monday, on the day of the eclipse, trying to bring some more understanding into it. It's a north node eclipse, meaning it's the solar eclipse, the new moon is forming right around the north node in Aries. Mercury's retrograde, Venus is in Aries. There's a lot of other things happening. And just 12 days after this eclipse, we have Jupiter and Uranus conjoining in Taurus. That plays a role in our understanding of this as well. But let's now consider five major factors here. First of all, this is a north node solar eclipse in Aries, which is the exaltation of the sun itself. So what does that mean? What kind of significations does that mean? The first thing that we want to think about is what a solar eclipse itself means. Remember that eclipses happen in 9 and 18 year cycles. So we are talking about the establishment of something new because it's a new moon, but we're now talking about it as something within a greater cycle that has a lot of history, 18 years worth of history, and that within that cycle, we're reaching a reset moment, a moment where a new cycle is starting. With the North Node especially, we have the feeling that this cycle will be something that lasts all the way up to 18 years, that this is a 9 to 18 year kind of cycle. So it's not your average new moon. It's a new moon that stands for something that will spread out through time and have a lot of significance for a long time to come. And not just this eclipse, but all of the solar eclipses that happen in Aries while the North Node is traveling through Aries over the course of at least a year, year and a half. So you have to start thinking about this in terms of the topics of the whole sign house of Aries in your natal chart, and the idea that whatever this new moon is starting, it will have a really long shelf life. You're talking about the seeds that are being planted in a new karmic cycle that is not just a month long or a couple months long, but will spread out in time through many years to come. That's what makes these so significant. Sometimes we think that that means we have to do something. Oh, that means I have to intend or will or design what this will be. No, a much better way of thinking about this is that life has its own way through your karma, through your choices and your intentions, conscious and unconscious, through the will of the gods, through other people in your life, through fate and destiny, and of course, your own free will. All together, there is a seed being planted, and your control, intention, desires have something to do with it, but it is not entirely in your control. So don't think, oh, I need to go and, you know, intend some new karmic cycle, and like I'm the architect of all of it. You're being receptive and open and conscious and creative all together at once, being receptive to the forces of fate and destiny, the gods, your own karmic patterns, as well as your own desires and intentions. All of it is important around the time of a solar eclipse. We don't think you need to control everything and have some grand plan. A solar eclipse is therefore, again, about new beginnings. When it's with the nodes, it tends to be about new beginnings that they form the shape of a new cycle in a specific area of our life that is going to spread out through time. It has a long way of gestating and developing in our lives. So that's the first way of thinking about it. The second way of thinking about it is that the sun is exalted in Aries, and this is the sign of the vernal equinox in the symbolic story of the zodiac, where light takes over from darkness for the solar year. This means that there's something young and new and fresh, something that is being initiated and represents a major turning point. What we call cardinal signs were originally called tropical signs. And you've heard me say this before, but that comes from the word tropos, which means to turn. So this is the establishment of a new cycle of karma that has a long shelf life to come, and that represents a significant turning point. The turning point represents the initiating of something new with a kind of vibrant, fresh, light, young quality. Sometimes we think about Aryan themes as representing the force of individuation, individuality, independence, the ways in which we need to cultivate strength and assertiveness and power and the kinds of challenges that we need to grow more confident in ourselves. So the seeds being planted may be described in part by this theme of the vernal equinox, of the young establishment of light coming out of darkness, which can be seen as like a young person gaining its own one's own sense of autonomy, agency, power, strength, individuality. And those qualities can also just broadly be described as inceptional. I'm going to start something new from a young, early stage, and we're going to push and develop. So Aries itself it kind of resonates on a certain level with the archetype of a new moon or a solar eclipse, insofar as Aries also likes to start new things. It's very pioneering in that sense. So we have a kind of doubling of those themes with this solar eclipse that are very relevant here. Now, the North Node. The North Node, as opposed to the South Node, tends to augment things. It was associated with the increase, gain, rise of fortune in the material world. Now, that's relative. You don't want a tumor to grow, but you do want, I don't know, your wealth or success to grow. I mean, most of us, that's probably how we feel. So the North Node represents the desire to do something new, to start a new cycle with the themes of strength and empowerment and self-development and courage, assertiveness, for the sake of growing or developing something that will augment our sense of well-being, happiness. So the desires of the North Node, karmically speaking, are often to go in the direction of something in the material world that we believe will make us happier. If I do this, the North Node says, I will be happier. I will be more realized. I will be more evolved. Different schools of astrology have different ways of talking about the North Node, but it generally points toward the idea that, excuse me, if I do this, if I do X, Y, or Z, the natural course of development will lead to an augmentation of my wealth, power, success, happiness, spiritual enlightenment, whatever. Different levels of consciousness perceive the eclipse and its energies differently and will engage with it for different reasons, but it usually has to do with something in the future that we want to develop that we think will bring us more of something that will make us happier or more enlightened or whatever. So now you have actually a tripling of the same basic idea. Solar eclipses start new cycles, powerful new cycles. The exalted Aries sun desires to push forward and start something fresh and new that will represent the empowerment of our individuality. It will make us feel strong and vital. That represents a step in our growth and maturity. Now I'm stronger and more capable, more individuated and realized. So you see, it has to do with pioneering and striking out in a new direction. So there's a doubling. And then the tripling with the North Node. If I go in this direction in the future, it will greatly augment my happiness or my self-realization because I will achieve something or I will gain something or realize something that makes me stronger or happier than I am right now. So all of those things go together in a very powerful way during the time of this. All right, so that's part one. Part two has to do with looking at the dignities. Domicile of Mars, this is the eclipse in Aries, and we have to look at what Mars is doing. So this eclipse is, you know, the exaltation of the sun in its own exaltation is one part. This eclipse is also happening in the domicile of Mars. Mars is thus partially responsible for toning the eclipse, and Mars is conjoining Saturn in Pisces. Now, with a double-bodied water sign that's feminine, Jupiterian, Venusian, this Mars-Venus or this Mars-Saturn conjunction has to do with where we may feel that we are weak, right? Where do we feel exhausted? Where do we feel overwhelmed? Where are we having to work through some area of emotional, spiritual, psychological fatigue? And if we do so, if we're able to handle the tests of our will, of our emotional intelligence, then we will truly be able to develop and evolve in a new direction. But this, at the backdrop of this eclipse, this Mars-Saturn dynamic suggests that your attempt or desire to grow in the direction, whatever direction it is that the eclipse represents in Aries and the North Node and so forth, there is at least a chance that you are feeling thwarted, undermined, frustrated, blocked. And probably because, listen, you know, Mars and Saturn in Pisces, again, a feminine sign, suggests that you can't just ram through something. There's going to be a subtle sensitivity that's needed, a compassion, a way of being emotionally resilient and patient in order to get where you want to go. And so this eclipse is being brought to us in part by a Mars that's having to grow up and do some deeper, more sensitive, relational, emotionally mature developmental like work behind the scenes. That's a really important detail. The things that are frustrating us, that are holding us back, the things that we have to maybe sacrifice or on behalf of or find compromise for are really important. This eclipse could also suggest that in order to get where you want to go, there's a very deep and intense level of emotional commitment to your desires and a degree of sacrifice that's needed to get there. But these are the different kinds of things that could be implied by the fact that the ruler Mars is with Saturn in Pisces. All right, let's move on to point number. All right, so point number three is that this eclipse is taking place in the bound of Mercury, and Mercury is retrograde in the sign of Aries at this time. Mercury's retrograde in Aries points us back through its rulership with Mars and moving through the bound of Saturn. No, is it moving through the bound of Mars? I'm all messed up. Hold on. Let me just double check. Yeah, so it is moving through the bound of Mars. So it has, there's a lot, the Mercury retrograde that's happening. So let me back up. The eclipse is happening in the bound of Mercury. Mercury's retrograde in the domicile and bound of Mars. Mars is going into the conjunction with Saturn. So the Mercury retrograde also suggests that even though we're trying to move forward with this very strong intentionality, that there's a process of revision or delay or a little bit of having to wait for something. Once we have waited for an appropriate amount of time and we've passed through some kind of testing or refining of our will, our patience, our emotional sensitivity, then things will be ready to go. But this is important to note that this eclipse happens in the bound of Mercury while Mercury is retrograde and very much ruled by Mars, who is going into the conjunction with Saturn. The other piece of information that's really important that we pay attention to is that Jupiter and Uranus are about to conjoin in Taurus on the 20th, which constitutes, among other things, the opportunity for a major breakthrough. But notice that all of the signatures of the eclipse point to the desire to move forward in a very strong way, but the process of something having to be refined, developed, delayed, revised before we get to that blast-off moment, which interestingly, through the dignities of the Mercury retrograde, which I visited in another video, it all starts clearing up around the time that Jupiter and Uranus conjoin. So this month is very alchemical in the sense that there's something red hot that wants to move forward, but there's a breakdown, a delay, a setback, a frustration, a maturing, a testing that has to happen. And then we see the acceleration with Jupiter Uranus coming through later in the month. Finally, I think it's really interesting that Venus and Mars during this eclipse period will be in mutual reception. Mars is in Venus's exaltation while Venus is in Mars's rulership. This is really helpful because in any time when you see a strong Aries signature with Mars so well like represented, you think about the assertiveness, the will, the courage, the power, the strength, a lot of which is individual in nature. It has to do with, you know, individual empowerment, individuation. Well, those themes are naturally running contrary to Venusian themes of harmony, peaceful negotiation, tact, diplomacy, care for the other, relational sensitivities. So the fact that Mars and Venus have mutual reception is great because it means that perhaps another way of looking at what we're having to work through before we can ride the acceleration wave that the Aries eclipse presents is we have to work things out with other people around us. And Mars, Venus, and mutual reception means that, look, even if we're trying to assert ourselves in a very powerful way with our personal direction in mind, there's going to be a need to be relationally sensitive, and the planets are aligned to be able to provide us with some support on that level. That's good. That's good news. So anyway, let's see here. All right. So those are the major features that I'm seeing for this eclipse. And I think this is a good place to start. And if you didn't listen to the horoscopes, be sure to go back and listen to those because that will really fill out your understanding of where the eclipse lands in your chart and what topics are likely to be active. But on that note, I will sign off and be sure to stick around if you want to hear more about the Herbal Apprenticeship Program. And leave us your thoughts. Where or how are you anticipating this eclipse showing up in your life? It's, you know, just less than a week off now, or just a couple days off, really. So it would be certainly interesting to hear from you guys. All right, that's it for now. I hope you guys have a great weekend. We'll see you again soon. Bye. Hey, everyone. Thanks so much for sticking around. I'm really happy to be joined by my wife, Ashley, who is an herbalist. Hi, Ashley.
Hey.
And yeah, I'm really excited to be helping Ashley promote her upcoming program, which is something that you actually began teaching many years ago, this herbal apprenticeship program. I think it was, 2011 or 12 that it got started, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So it's been over 10 years I've been offering this course. And yeah, it's my favorite thing to teach.
Yeah. And just to be clear, because some people on my channel, most people know you because you pop on here or there, we talk about herbs and astrology. There's an attraction in our marriage and an attraction in the subject matter that is old. Like, we've been together for, 14 years in our relationship going on. And we've always had a fascination with each other's areas of expertise. And we've done lots of things to marry them together over the years, in addition to literally getting married. And and actually, herbalists and astrologers have married the subjects of herbs and planets together for thousands of years as well. Now, your program is focused on, herbalism. It's not an astrology course, but there is certainly a lot of overlap in terms of the energetics and the spiritual approach to herbalism that you take. And so I was hoping that we could start off just by telling people a little bit about the program. You're coming to this after taking a little bit of time on maternity leave. Our kids were not yet in school. Now they are. You're coming back to work. This is really exciting. The new program launches at the end of April. I'm going to put it up on the screen so people can see it. You can find it at skyhouseherbs.com. Enrollment is open now. The course begins. You go under Courses, Herbal Foundations Apprenticeship at the end of April. Tell us about it.
Well, this course, I guess my goal in redesigning the apprenticeship course that I've been teaching for 10 years is to make it even more personal and to allow people to study the material, digest it at their own pace. So what it's going to be is a combination of kind of three main parts. The first one is the recorded material. So there's going to be modules that will be released and people can listen to them as they, as they have time. The second part are live classes where we will meet live on Zoom and talk about the module, I'll answer questions, I'll give even more information about it. And then the third part is the sacred plant pairings. And so I've always taught the herbal portion, like the plant diets, one at a time, but this year I'm going to do it in pairs because I think you can learn a lot by comparing and contrasting herbs. So for every module, you'll have two herbs to study and you'll get a little cheat sheet about them before you start the module. And then you'll have an opportunity to work with those two plants and blend them and keep them separate and just really work with them closely. Because my goal is that I want people to be able to find information that they can really use in their own lives, maybe with clients, whether they have a professional herbal practice or maybe they're a therapist in a different field, that they'll know these plants so that they can work with them really comfortably.
I love the different modules that you have, just so we can preview them for people. Module one is Vitalism and the Heart of Herbalism. Module two, Building Your Home Apothecary. They're so diverse. I love module three is my favorite, Plant Spirit Medicine, Energetics and Chemistry. You have such a holistic approach. It's what I've always loved about your teaching. You'll teach about the doctrine of signatures. You'll talk to people about how to communicate with plants, how to think of them as teachers that are living beings, that have personalities, that aren't just, phytochemistry or whatever. But you will also teach phytochemistry. And I think that you have this really well-rounded way of helping people be intelligent about the plants, about the body, about the systems of the body, but also not afraid to use energetic systems, not afraid to take something from the kinds of energetics that ancient mystics were working with, whether that's the elements or whether that's, some of the overlay with things like Ayurveda, Chinese medicine. You take what's useful on a symbolic and energetic plane and on a personal connection level with the plants, and you marry it to really smart scientific research. I think that that's rare. You don't see that a lot.
Well, thank you for saying that. Yeah, to me, it's all language. They're just different languages that we talk about the same thing. And I think the more diverse our languages as herbalists, the more we can reach more people. And that's kind of my goal. Like, I want everyone to be able to identify plants, use plants. So we need to diversify the languages we speak. So we can talk with our physicians. So we can talk with a therapist. We can talk with a mystic, right? We can talk with children. And we have a language that everyone can use.
You talk in the program, in your modules, you have stuff on digestive and gut health. You have stuff on detoxification, colds and flus, and dealing with virus seasons. You talk about tissue states, and you're talking about how to give things to your kids for, helping them maybe at times even relax before bed at night. We use a lot of different things with our kids. I love this, that you have called this I'm going to find the phrase where you use that you use, and I'm going to mess it up. A community herbalist. What is a community herbalist, so that people can understand that definition? Because sometimes people might look at a course like this and think, gosh, unless I go to an accredited university for, 8 years and learn all about chemistry, I have no right or business suggesting herbs to people or using herbs. That's just not true. And that's not the history of how folk herbal medicine has been used or taught. So what do you mean when you say community herbalist?
I think you said it perfectly. This is the people's medicine, and our grandmothers and great grandparents used plants as medicine. There's nothing actually that like hard about the practice of herbal medicine. It's just getting to know the plants and getting to know the times when they're most useful. I really envision that this course, people can take it and yes, use it for themselves. Number one, because I think a lot changes when we have the personal experience, and then using it in your family, whether that's just, maybe making a tea for your dog, or, if you have kids, or maybe you just have a partner, maybe you have plants you can use, and we'll talk about taking care of a garden, but using it for yourself, for whoever's immediately around you, and then taking it beyond that, because it's likely that at some point, you're going to be talking with someone. They're going to say, I've got this digestion thing and I've tried this and this. And they might say, hey, you're studying herbs. Is there anything that you would recommend? And you know what? You'll probably have a few ideas. And that, you never know how one way that you help someone out there in the world might trickle and then help others and more people. So I think through the self-knowledge and studying this knowledge in your own body, it'll naturally, it's like, impossible for it not to spread out and start to affect the broader community.
Yeah, I think that's really important. This is also for that reason, because we have a vision. I mean, you guys know through my Kickstarter, you guys helped us build a community herbal medicine garden that Ashley's been hosting free and donation-based events out of, that the donations go right back into the garden and just growing the medicine that we then find ways of harvesting and giving to other people or letting other people come and harvest. We have a vision, we always have, back to the days when we had our yoga studio in Maryland, we have always had a vision of making this sacred knowledge accessible to people. And that is both there in this program in terms of the way you're framing what it means to be an herbalist. It might mean that you're a professional and you see clients and you could continue beyond this program developing the skills to do that. This would certainly set you up for success. You could also go forward and be someone who uses what you know with friends and family and yourself. And that's an incredible set of tools to have. The program's also very accessible from both a programming standpoint and a price standpoint. I'll take you back over and show everybody. The programs, the modules are pre-recorded, but then you meet outside of the modules for discussion, community, Q&A, and sort of development and integration. So people can attend those live. If they miss those integration sessions, they can also watch the replays of those. So
absolutely, yeah.
Anyone could take this at their own rate, as slowly or as quickly as you wanted to really soak it in, or blaze through it. And, and then we can certainly, beyond this program, as Ashley perhaps makes more advanced programs available as she's easing back in out of maternity leave, can help you with further development or recommend you to many other wonderful programs where you can continue your studies. We want this to be accessible. We want community herbalism to be, as simple as being able to show a friend a couple of yoga stretches. We should be able to show each other herbs, and just, hey, this is a helpful herb to use. Also, accessibility price-wise, we have an early bird enrollment and we have a standard enrollment. And then we have tuition level one assistance and tuition assistance level two, which break out the affordable tuition into different levels of affordability. And you can kind of identify where you're at if you're someone who wants to take this program but needs to work within your means and not hurt yourself doing it. And then for those who can pay, we ask that you use standard or early bird enrollment. And that's the same thing I do for all my astrology programs. So we try to keep it super, super accessible. The Herbal Apprenticeship Program starts April 24th. I know Ashley's super excited to be getting back into teaching too. I also would like to offer Ashley just a chance to tell everyone a little bit about, before we end here this interview, tell everyone maybe a little bit about your own background, who you studied with, what your influences are, and just anything else you want to say before we cap it off.
Ooh, okay. well, I think, you know, I started off as a kid playing in the woods, mixing perfumes and potions. And then I went on to study environmental science, where I studied organic chemistry and restoring native wetlands. And really from an environmental perspective, that's how I got into herbalism. And then after, you know, I realized after working on the restoration piece and joining a lot of earth advocacy groups that the problem's not with the earth, but with the people not understanding the value of the earth. So then I started going into holistic medicine. I graduated from University of North Carolina, Asheville with a degree in interdisciplinary studies. And I went on to get my, that was my undergrad. And then I got my master's from the Maryland University of Integrative Health. It was then called Thai Sophia. But my teachers there, you know, I had such a great blend of teachers, really scientific minds, like Simon Mills from the UK and Kevin Spellman, who is like a chemistry genius. He's also an Ayurvedic practitioner, studied with Dr. Vasant Lad. Matthew Prisco, medicine maker from Galen's Way out in California. So I had a really wonderful, diverse variety of teachers in that 3-year full-time master's level program. And then after that, I went on to study with Matthew Wood pretty intensively because I liked his energetics. I liked the way he spoke about the plants and his personal experience working with low dose, drop dose medicine. And he has had amazing, he's done such amazing work herbally with just using that method. And I've got a lot of herbalists in my basket.
David Duke comes to mind.
Jim Duke, Margie Flint, Rosemary Gladstar is like, I've only done one herb walk with her, but it was amazing. So, you know, I have shelves of herbal books and people who I just adore. And yeah, I just feel really grateful that I've had that blend of the science and the energetic herbalism and the traditional herbalist perspective as well. And I try my best to blend them together and to give everyone a really diverse yet integrated herbal studying experience.
Yeah, absolutely. You get that. That is exactly what you'll get if you sign up for Ashley's program, which I encourage you to do. If this is the kind of thing that interests you, you won't regret it. It's a fantastic course with someone I absolutely love, obviously, but also like a really, truly fantastic human being and teacher of plant medicine. And if you want to learn more about her, see her work, get to know her a little bit, check out her YouTube channel, Skyhouse Herbs, where she publishes weekly on plant medicine, plant energetics, and also on Instagram, which is Skyhouse Herbs. So the apprenticeship program starts April 24th. I wanted to get Ashley on, brag about her program, turn you guys on to it. Thank you so much for being here. And I'm sure that we're going to see some people from the Nightlight astrology world getting introduced to you and all of your magic.
I would love that. Thank you.
All right. Take it easy, everyone. Bye.